Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
What, sweetie?
I learned how a prince married a prince, and I can marry a princess.
Think it can happen? It's already happened. When Massachusetts legalized gay marriage, schools began teaching second graders that boys can marry boys. The courts ruled parents had no right to object.
Under California law, public schools instruct kids about marriage. Teaching children about gay marriage will happen here unless we pass Proposition 8. Yes on 8.
Well, that's a commercial in favor of Proposition 8 in California, an anti-gay marriage ballot initiative. Greeting and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. For the next few minutes of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest. We're going to talk about Prop 8 in California and this angle taken by this commercial that this is really about what your kids will be taught in school if gay marriage should stand in the state of California, or any place else for that matter. After our short conversation with Jennifer, Dr. Stephen Hine will join us. We'll answer the question, is there an unforgivable sin? And what about the unforgiven sin that Jesus mentions, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? That's coming up a little bit later on the program. You can join us for the next hour. It's Wednesday afternoon, October the 29th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, as usual, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Jennifer Roback-Morse is director of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
What do you make of the commercial we just played? This little girl walks in with the book. It's called King and King or something like that. And she says, I can marry a princess. That's what they taught me in school. How about that angle on Prop 8?
Well, I think it's a very legitimate angle for people to be concerned about. In other words, the prospect of children being taught about gay marriage in the schools without a parental opt-out option, without even parental notification some of the time. This is a very live possibility, and people need to realize that that's part of the package of what you're voting for when you're voting for and against Proposition 8, for example, in California.
Okay, so make the case that this is, other than simply what's going to be taught in schools to California's kids, that this is an issue, that gay marriage in California is an issue that impacts children.
Well, it impacts them in this way. I mean, the fact is, the people who want gay marriage have jumped all over that ad and said it's misleading, it's not true, and so on. But if you look at their arguments, it's all legal hair splitting, Todd, because they're basically what they're saying is we can already do all this stuff right now if we want to. Prop 8 has nothing to do with it, and so they don't come out and say it quite that blatantly, because if they did, people would really be upset. But that is the truth. The truth is they have plenty of legal authority if they want to teach gay marriage, you know, any time of the day or night at any age level that they want to. But gay marriage, it's so that doesn't comfort people. And every time the issue of education comes up, it makes people even more nervous about passing gay marriage. But what gay marriage will do, as opposed to domestic partnerships, is that gay marriage triggers certain obligations in the law, and that's what we're really talking about here. In the education code, it says that if you use the comprehensive sex education curriculum as part of the comprehensive sex ed, you must teach something about marriage. Well, now, if you teach something about marriage and marriage is redefined, that pretty much means you're going to be teaching about same-sex marriage. So the opponents of Prop 8, and the people who are saying that this is all a big exaggeration, they're counting on some very fine legal hair splitting to say that Prop 8 doesn't really have anything to do with education. The fact is that the schools are very much on the side of the gay lobby. The courts are very much on the side of the gay lobby. This has been proven abundantly. It's been made very, very clear that the courts and the schools are side with the gay lobby. And so if they choose to start doing this, let's put it this way, if Prop 8 fails, those people will take that as a green light to do what they want to do. And I think as people are thinking about it, as the citizens of California are reflecting on that, they see this is a risk that is simply unacceptable to them. And so they're going to vote yes on Proposition 8 to, at the very least, slow down this juggernaut of the gay lobby, the courts, and the education system.
How did Californians get themselves into the position where they were going to be asked to vote yay or nay on retaining gay marriage in the first place?
Well, the way we got into this situation, it's kind of California is a little bit different from a lot of states because we're, you know, famously called the Left Coast and the home of the fruits and the nuts and all the rest of the things that people say about California. Some of them are actually true. The situation here is that in the year 2000, we voted on defining marriage as the union of a man and a woman, and it passed by 60% of the voters. 60% of the voters said that marriage should be the union of a man and a woman, but that measure only had the status of ordinary legislation. And so what happened in the spring was that the Supreme Court declared that to be unconstitutional. They basically declared that earlier ballot initiative to be unconstitutional and to constitute unlawful discrimination. And so now this particular proposition, Proposition 8, is an amendment to the Constitution so that no future Supreme Court can write gay marriage into the laws of California. That's why we're doing it. So Proposition 8 not only, quote, bans gay marriage, it also overturns that particular judicial ruling, which is a very important thing to do, because that judicial ruling, in addition to enacting same-sex marriage, was also over the top in several other very significant ways. So it's very important that people understand that when they vote yes on Prop 8, they are also voting to overturn that particular judicial ruling.
Okay, we recently talked, and you made a very interesting, it's really stuck with me, observation that the push for gay marriage is really trying to turn, among other things, trying to turn marriage as an institution into a parent or adult-centered institution rather than a child-centered institution. What did you mean by that, and why does that bear upon issues like Prop 8?
Well, what I mean by that is that in order to say that marriage should be the union of any two persons, you have to basically demote procreation as one of the central purposes of marriage. Okay, so it's not that what we're now saying is that procreation is sort of incidental to marriage. It's not the main purpose of marriage. The main purpose of marriage has to do with adults organizing their lives together, being affirmed by society for their affection and their commitment, and so on. Necessarily, procreation is being demoted. And if you listen to what people say about it, when we advocates of natural marriage come up and say, you know, we need to keep man-woman marriage because that's the only way to protect children, their response will always be, well, not everybody has children. Not all married couples have children. So that can't possibly be the real purpose of marriage. And what we respond is, you know, look, you're standing the whole thing on its head. The reality is not every marriage has children, that's true, but every child has parents, and every child has an interest in being attached to their parents and having stable union with their parents and their parents' union being a stable thing. Every child has an interest in that, and marriage is society's way of protecting that interest of the child, an interest that children can't possibly protect on their own. That's why you have marriage in the first place. And so when you say that procreation is no longer going to be a significant part of marriage or even a defining part of marriage, that procreation is simply peripheral, a lifestyle extra that you add on if you happen to like it. Once you say that, you're taking away that societal promise to children, and you really don't have any more a child-centered institution. So that's what I meant by that, Todd. And out here And when you're involved in a political campaign, as we are out here, people don't want to talk like that. They want to know what is this initiative going to do and not do. And so you don't often get to explain the whole shooting match like I just did to people. But just the same, it's an extremely important part of what's at stake in this proposition.
Oh, finally, do you think the Prop 8 will pass next week?
Well, I think it remains to be seen. Honestly, we should pass. It should pass. I think that the people of California really want it to pass. The problem is that in this final week, the opponents of Prop 8 have raised a tremendous amount of money. They are outspending us in the final weeks 3-1. And so if any of your listeners care about this, and I think they should care about it, please go to protectmarriage.com and make a contribution, because the gay marriage advocates are pumping in money from all over the country. They're pumping in money from all over the country. People are writing million-dollar checks to defeat Proposition 8. So if any of the good people of St. Louis can help us out with a contribution, that would be a wonderful thing, because if it fails in California, you can be sure that it's going to be a problem for everybody else sooner or later.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is director of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. You can find out more about the Ruth Institute and Dr. Morris's books at issuesetc.org. Click on demand, issuesetc.org. Jen, hopefully when we talk next Wednesday, post-election, we'll be celebrating the passage of Prop 8 in California. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, and please keep those prayers coming in too, you guys.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris, when we come back from this break, this troubles a lot of people. They worry about having committed a sin that is patently unforgivable. Or perhaps they worry about the cumulative effect of their many sins. Okay, have I gone over my quota? Is this something? Have I just gone too far? The sin I've committed or the sins I've committed, are they unforgivable? Did Jesus die even for these? When we come back, we'll talk about whether or not there's an unforgivable sin. Dr. Stephen Hine will be our guest. Oh, by the way, if you want to find out more about Prop 8 in California, protectmarriage.com. Protectmarriage.com.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Issuesetc.org.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A court victory for a federal pro-life law.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A federal judge recently ruled against the state of California, which sought to overturn a federal pro-life law. The law in question denies federal funding to states that discriminate against doctors or hospitals that refuse to perform abortions. California requires all doctors and hospitals to perform abortions when childbirth threatens the mother's life or health. The judge refused to overturn the federal law because California has yet to enforce its law. If it ever did, it would run the risk of losing $37 billion in federal funding. But then it could again seek to overturn the federal law.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.